हृत्स्थले मन स्वस्थता क्रिया हृत्स्थले मन स्वस्थता क्रिया भक्तियोग बोधाश्च निश्चितम् भक्तियोग बोधाश्च निश्चितम् वायुरोधना लीयते मनः वायुरोधना लीयते मनः जालपक्षिव द्रोधसाधनम् जालपक्षिव द्रोधसाधनम् चित्तवायवश्चित्क्रियायुताः चित्तवायवश्चित्क्रियायुताः शाखयोर्द्वयी शक्तिमूलका शाखयोर्द्वयी शक्तिमूलका सो दिस् टू वर्सस् आफ् दिस् एट् फोर् लिम्स् आफ् अष्टाङ्गयोग रमण महर्षि प्रिस्क्रैब्स् ओन्ली दिस् हि टाक्स् अबौट् ध्यानम् Then he talks about this for dhyanam, even for dharanam and dhyanam, one has to have definitely, mind has to become calm and serene, tranquil. Because here, there are two, four, we say there's absolute tranquility and relative tranquility. The absolute tranquility is only in moksha, only in jnanam. That is through contemplation. So recognize the self, then focus attention on the nature of the self, then be in contemplation. The contemplation will result in ascertain vision of the non-duality of the reality. Then the mind, once you have the vision, see, once you have understood 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, you will never forget that fact. You don't need to, in the midday, suppose somebody comes and wakes you up and asks you also, you will get up and then you won't ask, oh, come on, give me the pencil and pen, slate or pen and paper, I want to write 1 plus 1, count. No, you don't need to do anything. Just you will say 1 plus 1 is 2. How clear are you about the fact 1 plus 1 is equal to 2? You don't need anything. The fact is so clear for you. Similarly, here also the fact will be so clear. What is a clear fact? So clear means all that is there is, the reality is not simply one. What is there is only the reality. There is no second thing other than the reality. And what seems to be there as a second thing is just the mithya, just the manifestation of the same reality. That is where the different order of the same reality, which is called, which doesn't have independent existence, which cannot be counted as the second or the two. Therefore what? This is where this non-duality, this fact becomes very clear once to you, then that fact remains as a fact. That is why when you understand facts, you will never forget the facts. That is why physics professors, when they start teaching, and then they will never be vague. Know that. Once they are very clear, they don't need to go again and again, refer every time, they don't need to prepare notes. Know that. So clear. They have to just go to the class and check the pen and then pencil, chalk piece, and write a few equations and they just keep talking. So clear. For the student who has listened to the first time, mind-boggling, this equation. So clear. Now, first he starts teaching me. Why? Because the facts are, once the facts become very clear, you will never forget the facts. Whatever you forget, when you say, oh, I forgot, that means anything you have by heart, mugged, or just without understanding, vaguely you have by hearted, something you have, got it in your mind. Things, very clear facts, understood very clearly, you will never forget. Why? It happens to be the fact. Because it's a fact, you cannot forget it. So this, for the jnani also, who is a jnani? One for whom the fact has become the vision, okay? The fact is true to his understanding. It's not simply, now when I say water is H2O, I know it's a fact because the whole jagat has accepted the fact. So I also say it's a fact. But is it true to my understanding? I have never tested hydrogen, oxygen separate. I never tested the testing. You understand now? Never went to the lab and did the test and all that. It's not true to my understanding. But still, it's understand now. That here is not, this fact is true to the one's understanding. Therefore, it's a vision. And he can never forget this. That is jnanam. That is what is vichar, anusandhana. That is the result of contemplation. He never forgets this. Whereas, that is why, but for this fact to be recognized and understood and to assimilated, to be ascertained, the mind has to be really ready. Mind has to become steady. So absolute tranquility, absolute serenity, absolute peace, serenity, tranquility, calmness, okay, quietitude, no, absolute quiet, this, all these words are synonyms, in fact. All these words are absolute things only in jnanam. Absolute serenity, tranquility, quietude, calmness, no, the peace. We talk about the peace of mind, peace of mind. There are pieces of mind, okay? The real absolute peace of mind is only in jnanam. But the mind has to be to discover that, to know that, to recognize that, to assimilate that. In fact, mind has to be relatively calm and quiet. That is why this meditation, dhyanam, dharanam, this pranayama, etc., will help one to have only relative tranquility, relative serenity, not absolute serenity. We should not mistake the relative serenity for absolute serenity. Relative calmness for absolute calmness. Understand, it's very important to know this. So this pranayama, we saw yesterday how pranayama, like the bird which can fly everywhere very freely, the attention of the mind, very fast, swift in his movement, sitting here can go all over the jagat and come back. No? And it can just think of anything. It can just go from wander from one thing to other things. Attention can go anywhere, so scattered and distracted and disturbed. And such a mind can be captivated, caught, held by what? You know, with the net of pranayama. So pranayama, because once you practice the prana, I told you, you simply observe the prana, even that itself calms the mind. That is prana vikasaha. Prana vikasanam, prana vikasaha. Prana ayamaha means you involve yourself a little bit, in the sense you inhale, you measure, you take your own time to inhale, and to exhale and to hold the breath for kumbhakam, rechakam, purukam, etc. You practice this. And this also really calms your mind. Therefore, that way, the attention of the mind being held by prana ayama, the mind being, attention being not available for so many objects, the distract mind is protected from, prevented from being distracted, and it's made to be focused. Is it clear now? Therefore, it also calms. This is the pranayama, usefulness of pranayama in disciplining the mind. So pranayama itself is a discipline. You know, anything, any field of education, knowledge is said to be a discipline, because any field of knowledge, I mean, in fact, needs attention. Anything which can hold attention, can hold your attention, in fact, disciplines your mind. No, the mind, the distracted mind being made to be focused is called a discipline of disciplining the mind. That is why when initially you start, how do you discipline the mind? That the more the indisciplined the mind is, the more distracted the mind is, the more indisciplined the mind. As a child, the child's mind is completely, totally indisciplined. so distracted. And that distracted mind has to be held at least for 5-10 minutes, half an hour. That is very small toys, colorful things, all noises. You need all funny noise, all those things. And some toys you give with making noise, with lots of noise, it holds the attention. So that attention is saved from taken away from all the distractions. So you sit at least quietly, at least for 15 minutes. Gets bored and it starts again something. There are too many toys also and too many colorful things. Same way for every stage you need. The more the mind is scattered, the more the mind is indisciplined. So slowly the indisciplined mind is made disciplined, becomes disciplined. That is why any field of knowledge is said to be a discipline. Any learning needs attention. Learning needs attention. Whether you study physics, chemistry, or biology, mathematics, botany, anything, any technology, anything you learn, any art you learn, the learning needs attention. Learning becomes a discipline. It's a discipline. Disciplines the mind. The more you are focused, the more something is holding attention, the more you are free from distractions. The less you are distracted, the more you become focused. The less you are distracted, the more you become focused, the more you are disciplined. The more you are disciplined, the more you can observe. The more you can observe, the more you can learn. The more you can learn, the more you can absorb. That's a secret. And that's why any discipline needs what? Any field of knowledge, any learning needs focus, attention. Then you learn. That is why nobody is a dull-witted person. Everybody is intelligent. Only they need to be helped to be focused. They need to be helped from being distracted. And they need to be taught systematically, step by step. Anybody can, any Tom, Dick, Harry can learn everything. Nothing is impossible. This is the technique, it's a trick. Everything is easy. Everything is possible. And imagine, any discipline, any field of knowledge, any learning needs focus, attention means, on how much you must be focused to know the subtlest reality, the source of knowledge, the very existence of the mind, wherein any knowledge takes place. Imagine. Isn't it? The mind is the subtlest of the manifestations, and you want to know what is the very origin of the mind. Manam yengirundu thonriyadna. Manam iruppenna. What is the origin of the mind? You want to know. That is where your problem will be solved. Isn't it? You want to know this truth of the mind. In fact, truth of the mind is the truth of the whole jagat, so you need to know. That's why that knowledge, imagine how much the mind must be disciplined, how much attention must be focused, how much it must be free from distractions. Isn't it? The amount of the focus you need, the amount of distraction-free mind you need for this particular vision of the reality, in fact, you cannot gain it overnight. Of course, that is why Shastra talks about the dispassion. The dispassion does not mean, in fact, attachment and dispassion, two words you need to understand in this context. People tell you don't be attached. And be dispassionate. Both words are very frightening and then worse. And then when in fact we become very frustrated. My God, I want to be attached. I want to be detached. Don't want to be attached, but I'm not able to be free from attachment. And I want to be dispassionate. My God, the amount of passion I have for so many things in the world is very difficult. That is why Shastra says, come on, please understand these two meanings of two words. Being attached means being dependent on things and situations and people for your sorrowlessness, for your painlessness, for your happiness, for your purefulness. Being dependent is being attached. How? When are you attached? Now, when will you be attached? When you do not know where happiness is, what happiness is, then you will be attached to everything in the world. And separation from the thing, or things are not the way you expect them to be, then it will cause more agony, more pain to you. At least now you understand this much. Come on, happiness is my choiceless end. Happiness and the source of the mind, happiness and the reality are not two different things. Because happiness is limitlessness, limitlessness is fullness, and fullness is the nature of the reality, fullness is reality, reality is fullness. They are not two different things. Therefore, discovering reality is discovering what fullness is, discovering what fullness is, being full, reveling in fullness. So, it's a question of my being ignorant of what reality is, what the self is. In fact, my being, in response of my being unhappy. It is lack of knowledge of what happiness is, what fullness is the response for your unhappiness. Not anybody else. Not the situation, not the things, not the people, not the behaviors, nothing. Satyam, this is a satyam. You know what satyam? Nothing in this universe is responsible for your unhappiness. For your hurt, for your unhappiness, for your worries, nothing in this jagat is responsible. Not even people, not even friends, not even relatives, not even things, not even situations, not even recession, nothing. Nothing is responsible for your unhappiness. Our Shastram says your lack of knowledge of what happiness is the means, cause for your unhappiness. So what is the only solution now? Your knowledge of what happiness is the only means for you to free yourself from unhappiness and sorrow. And that happiness, where is it happiness? That happiness is the reality. Where is reality? Therefore, you have to know the reality. Where is available for recognition? In your own mind. As the very truth of the mind, as the content of the I thought. Recognize, understand, focus attention on that, ascertain it, be free from doubts, be free. This is what the Shastram says. But when you do not know this, when you do not know what you are seeking, where is it available, when you do not know this, naturally, helplessly, you are attached to things. You are dependent on everything for your happiness. Then you are attached. And the attachment will always result in more and more in agony and pain and hurt and guilt. Because the search doesn't come to an end there. What is attachment? Then, dispassion. See, it is very natural for you to have passion for anything, so many things. It is impossible for one to be totally dispassionate. See, passion is a strong desire. Desire itself, I told you yesterday, very natural. Desire is very natural because desire is what? Is expression of your needs. The needs, you emotional needs, physical needs, your natural needs. Needs are very natural, I tell you. Needs are natural. Anything you think I need it, it's a natural thing. And the needs alone, converted needs are what? Desires. Converted forms of needs are desires. And then that's the thoughts. So the needs are, as I told yesterday, due to the sense of inadequacy centered on I. The inadequacy is for somebody else I don't have. If she doesn't have something, that doesn't make me, I feel she is inadequate. She doesn't have it. This doesn't bother me. The sense of inadequacy centered on I is the problem. I am inadequate. That is the problem. And this is because of the sense of smallness being centered on I. this small, that is, the, somebody else is small in terms of, no, he doesn't know much. Very happy for me. I'm not unhappy about it. Somebody doesn't have money. No, he is very poor. So in terms of riches, doesn't make me unhappy. You know, she doesn't have manpower. She doesn't, he doesn't have, they don't have any people around. Even if somebody doesn't have something, that doesn't make me unhappy. This smallness in terms of so many things centered on I is the problem. I am small. I do not have this. I have this. I am this much. That is the problem which causes my problem, isn't it? Though this is a fundamental problem, is this smallness, the problem of smallness being centered on I. Because of which, that is because of the ahankara, all the wrong notions about the self. The self, the wrong notion of self is not there, then the small sense of smallness being done, I is not possible. You will not place this, you know, ahankara because ahankara. The ahankara is because of the adhyaropa. Adhya because of the adhyasa, as I told you. Adhyasa because you are very strongly rooted. I am body, mind, and complex. I sense aham dehatma buddhihi. Dehe, manasi, no, this praneshu. All in all of them, the aham buddhi is sitting very, very strongly rooted. You cannot undo it. You are helplessly caught up in that this buddhi. Wrong knowledge, erroneous perception. And that is because completely you have no discriminative knowledge. You do not know this all anatma. Because you do not know what atma is. There is no discriminative knowledge because there is no very knowledge of the self. There is not even knowledge that something called self, something called reality. Completely. There is no, helplessly you are just left the jungle. Your eyes being tied. So Shastram has to come to rescue you. Know that. So here, this is the problem. That is why this is the problem. This problem has to be solved. That's why passion is very natural. The desire is very natural. So the strong desire, the desire arises. Sometimes you manage because using your willpower, using your buddhi shakti, using your knowledge of values, you manage your desires because you have some shama. But the passion, a very strong desire. You know, without that you cannot serve it. This is a passion. You know that? So passion, passion is very natural. But how can I become dispassionate? Vairagyam. Viragaha. No, vigataha ragaha yasmat saha vairagi. No? Viragaha, vairagyam means what? The raga, the attachment, the passion for a given object has gone from whom? It is viragi. Viragaha, the absence of raga, passion, attachment. So vairagyam. So if you know what is attachment and what is detachment, what is being detached, not being dependent is on anything for happiness is, you know, detachment. Being dependent is attachment. What is vairagyam now? Vairagyam means not having passion for anything. How can you give up your passion for anything? Absence of passion. You do not, you see, I tell you can never give up your passions. Understand now? You can grow out of, growing out of desire for things and situations is in fact dispassion. How do you grow out of desire for things? See, without having destroyed the desires, because you can't destroy. Without undoing the desires, you know, without changing your desires also, you're free from some desires. When you have grown out of desires, once upon a time you had a great desire for something, now you have grown out of desire for that thing. See, so growing out of desire is a maturity. When do you grow out of desire for something? Growing out of desire for something means when you understand whatever you desired for is of no more useful for you. In useful means what? Useful means what? what you are very clear about what you are seeking in life. You are very clear, what is it I want? Okay, for happiness, I need not do anything. For the sake of happiness, I cannot get anywhere happiness, because happiness is not available anywhere. Once you are very clear, and for the sake of happiness, you are not, attached to anything else, means what? Naturally, happiness, nothing in the world can give you happiness. Because happiness is not elsewhere, anywhere. That is very clear means, then you grow out of desire for that. Then what is it alone which will give you happiness? In fact, knowledge only reveals happiness. Doesn't it give you, understand, not giving and taking. Knowledge reveals happiness to you. Therefore, naturally, knowledge alone can help me recognize happiness. Knowledge alone can bless me with happiness. Then naturally, I have passion for knowledge. That's all. See, in fact, if you know what can give you happiness, you're very clear. Then you have passion for that knowledge. Passion for knowledge will help you discover dispassion towards everything else, because you will grow out of desire for other things, because other things, when you know the limitations, that they cannot give you what you seek. Simple thing. What is dispassion? Isn't it? So this dispassion and attachment, you have to understand this. So knowing the limitations of everything, what do you mean by that? Nothing can give me happiness. Nothing has the capacity to bless me with the happiness. This is what knowing the limitations of everything. And knowing the value of knowledge, knowledge alone can bless me with the happiness. Then naturally, you grow out of desire for other things, knowing their limitations. Knowing the value of knowledge, you have passion for knowledge. Then naturally, the mind has to switch, It is holding on to something else now. Leaving it here, it has to hold on to that. When it holds on to that, it leaves it here. Very natural. The word is dispassion. That's why dispassion one has to discover. I cannot force you to be dispassionate. Okay, nobody can tell you, come on, you be dispassionate. Don't have disease. Don't have passion for things. Be dispassionate. You have forced you, no one will come to the class. One has to discover dispassion naturally. The pakvam. No, it's called maturity. It shows with the maturity of a person. Understand? So once this maturity is there, that's why the dispassionate mind is very important for meditation. The contemplation will be effortless. Why I want to say here? The sarala. Sarala chintanam. Srotasa. No, Sotasasamam, like the flow of water in the river or stream, the meditation will be so effortless when the mind is dispassionate mind. Very clear, no distraction, no stress, no tension. No, what will happen if I don't go there? That sort of, the mind is calm mind. That's why dispassion implies the maturity, understanding will bless you with the calmness. Isn't it? You don't need to practice anything here. Understanding will bless you with the calmness. You'll be the mind which is dispassionate mind. It is easy for the mind to be focused in contemplation, in meditation. So dispassion, and also a detachment. You're not dependent on anything else for your happiness, because there's no happiness there. You're dependent now. Anything which is not desirable for makes you unhappy, you understand that prarabdha, not because that you're unhappy. Any unhappiness due to some situations, in some situations you become unhappy also, you know the situations are Ishar prasada, earned by niyati, because as earned by karma phalam. isn't it? They are not responsible for your unhappiness. You know, 100% you are sure unhappiness is due to your absence, your lack of knowledge of what happiness is. So, you are not attached. Detachment. So, this detached mind, which is free from attachment, which is dispassionate mind, which is grown out of desire for objects, knowing the limitations and knowing the value of knowledge, that mind is a focused mind, can be focused mind. You get it now? He has a focused mind. That's why, that is when, because love for, I told you, the ajya, like ajya dhara, ajyam implies you are being attached to something, being stuck with something. That implies your attraction towards the object. Why are you attracted? Because you love that. Why you love it? Because you know the value of it. What is the value? This knowledge alone is going to bless me with what I want in life. Then naturally, you have love for the object, your attachment, understand now, you're attracted towards the object. These things, your meditation is so distraction-free. That's why, what I'm saying, the dispassionate, detached mind is very conducive, understand now, for your contemplation. You don't need to make efforts to become detached and then dispassionate. If you understand, naturally you'll become dispassionate and detached. Now tell me, do you need to make any effort to become detached and dispassionate? No. No effort is required here. Your understanding is required. Tell me, you can never make efforts to become detached. To become detached, to become dispassionate, all that you need is understanding, not any efforts. Is it very clear or not? You make efforts to become detached, it's a pain, I tell you. Therefore, we saw that. Okay, now you practice meditation. Okay, now what happens, this laya, the more and more you practice pranayama also, the more the pranayama, the prana holds the attention, the mind, the thoughts can be resolved. The more attention of the mind is held by one object, please listen to me carefully, the less number of thoughts will arise. Please listen, it is very important. Anything which holds your attention for a length of time, prevents your attention from being distracted by so many objects. The less the attention is disturbed by other objects, the less number of thoughts will be there. Know that? It means what? Thoughts do not even rise. What happened to thoughts? The thoughts are resolved. Ennam odungi iruttal. Thoughts being resolved means ennam odungi iruttal. Thoughts, the non-rise, thoughts do not rise. Thoughts do not rise. That means what happened to the thoughts? Thoughts remain resolved. Why the thoughts are resolved? Because attention is not distracted. Why attention is not distracted? Because attention is held by one given object. Why attention is held by an object? Because attention is focused there. The simple thing. The more attention is focused, the more single-pointed, the less the attention is distracted. The less the attention is distracted, then the thoughts also, more the thoughts will be resolved. The more the thoughts are resolved, more the mind is serene and calm. This is the trick. Got it now? This is the thing. So when you do it more, what is the height of, what is the result that you can accomplish through meditation? Either through pranayama, by meditating upon the prana, by practicing pranayama, or by practicing pranayama, or by practicing pranavikasa, or by practicing any meditation, what can you accomplish ultimately? You can resolve all the thoughts completely, what I told you. All the thoughts can be completely resolved. Just the object alone can be there, and you will be there. There will be dual experience. This dual experience, further you practice more meditation, and even the dual experience can be converted into non-dual experience. Even the object of meditation can be resolved. No thought will be there. That all the thoughts being resolved means you have to understand it is like a deep sleep state. You have no thought. Not having any thought at all means what? Not having any thought at all is having all the thoughts resolved. Having all the thoughts resolved means what? No thought rises. Ennam ezhamai, ennam odungi iruthal. Understand now? All the thoughts are resolved. In deep sleep state, as naturally it happens in meditation, you resolve it. Now by focusing the attention, by not allowing the attention of mind being distracted, the number thoughts are slowly, slowly, slowly resolved. Thoughts, non-rising of the thoughts is said to be what? Having the thoughts resolved. Having the thoughts resolved is what now? In fact, having the calm mind. Turbulence-free mind. The thoughts arise means there is disturbance and turbulence. The thoughts are resolved, calm, quiet mind. It's like what? The waves come, noisy ocean. Waves are resolved, quiet ocean. It's a quiet ocean, understand now. But here it is. I'm just saying, this is possible. This is called, in fact, layaha. Say that now. Layaha. So this layaha means resolution. Resolution of what? Resolving of the thoughts. Resolution of the thoughts. Resolution of the mind is called layaha. Understand? And this resolution of the thoughts, now you know, non-rising or the thoughts is having the thoughts resolved. And here we have temporary layaha and we have permanent layaha. Temporary resolution and permanent resolution. In temporary resolution, what you have? Experience. In Savikalpa Samadhi, there is a temporary resolution. In Nirvikalpa Samadhi, there is a temporary resolution of thoughts. In deep sleep state, there is a temporary resolution of thoughts. In death also, until you are born again, all your thoughts are temporarily resolved. Only thing is you wake up in a new little body. You don't know how long. A big long holiday, come back. Completely new setup. Go for a holiday, come back, not this house is not here, my God. Where is other house? You don't even know where you were before. You open a passage, this is a new house. I mean, isn't it? It's all temporary resolution. Understand why? Because this is called layaha. Okay? Layaha. Whereas in jnanam, resolution of thoughts is not temporary but permanent. Permanent. So, in jnanam, what do you mean by permanent resolution of thoughts? Here in temporary resolution, really thoughts are resolved for length of time. Again, they will come back. The time, you know, because anything is experience, it has to come to an end and then again they come back. They rise. Whereas in jnanam, you don't need to put the sleeves to thought. In jnanam, when I say it is resolved, means what? Listen to me. See, knowing if you say H2O is the truth of the wave, if you know, you have resolved the wave name and form in H2O. If you know gold is the reality of the chain, you have resolved the Nama Rupa golden chain in gold. So knowing the reality of something is resolving that in its reality. Is it clear now? When you say this cupboard is nothing but wood, when you say cupboard is wood, when you say you have resolved the Nyamarupa cupboard in the shelf in its reality, the wood. This is also resolution. Understand now? You don't need to undo it. So knowing the truth of something, thereby resolving that in Nama Rupa in reality is also resolving. So in Jnanam, you do not put the thoughts to sleep. The thoughts need not be, need not be non-rising of thoughts. Need not be resolved really, like in sleep. Where the thoughts are there, thoughts are resolved, you have resolved the thoughts. How? By knowing the reality of the thoughts. Where the waves are there, the waves are resolved, once you know H2O is the reality of the wave, H2O is the reality of all the waves, H2O is the reality of the entire ocean, you are very clear, you understood, you recognize the reality being H2O. Then, whether the waves are not, you have resolved the waves in its reality. Then you can say, waves are H2O. First you say there are waves, then you understand there is ocean full of waves, and then you say, H2O is the reality, then you say what? Waves are H2O, you have resolved waves in H2O. This is also resolving. Similarly, first you know thoughts are, mind is, grass is, subtle is, my God, that is, this is, everything is, so many things are. No, that is why it is mind-boggling, incomprehensibly vast jagat is. And in this jagat is inclusive of what? Your little body, mind and complex. Which is also, understand, all these things are. And you say, what is the reality of everything? You discover the reality of everything is awareness, by discovering reality of the mind, you say mind, thought, I is awareness. Am is awareness. All the thoughts are awareness. Mind is awareness. Then thereby you can understand what? The whole jagat is awareness. This is what resolving jagat in its reality. Resolving ahankara in its reality. What is ahankara? Notion. What is notion? Is a thought. Where does this thought rise from? Where does this thought exist? Where does it resolve? In awareness. But to know this, you have to know what this I is, isn't it? I is awareness. If I is aware, if knowing the truth of the I, if you resolve the I thought in awareness, the whole mind can be resolved, the entire jagat can be resolved. That is possible through contemplation. You don't need to undo that. Without flattening the thoughts, without undoing the thoughts, having the thoughts also, you can dissolve the thoughts in its reality by knowing the reality of the thoughts being H2O. Similarly, in Jnanam, without having to put the thoughts to sleep, without undoing the thoughts, without anything, by recognizing what is the truth of the I, thereby recognizing the truth of the entire mind, you can resolve all the thoughts in the reality. Thoughts are nothing but awareness. If you say you resolve the thoughts in awareness, this is also resolution. Is it clear now? Such resolution is called nashaha. Permanent resolution. And by practicing this now, by focusing on something, when you resolve your thoughts, that is called temporary layaha. I got difference now? Understood the difference? What is temporary layaha? What is permanent layaha? What is temporary resolution? What is permanent resolution? Have you understood now? I think I made it very clear. Okay, now that's what he's saying now. Because before going to that verse, my God, I had to tell you all these things. Okay, now he's going to say that. Laya vinashane ubhaya rodhane. Laya vinashane ubhaya rodhane. Laya gatam punar bhavatino mrutam. Laya gatam punar bhavatino mrutam. Laya vinashane ubhaya rodhane. Laya vinashane ubhaya rodhane. Layagatam punar bhavati nomrutam. Layagatam punar bhavati nomrutam. I think you understood this word layaha. Mind being resolved, the thoughts being resolved, resolution of the thoughts. I told you what is temporary layaha, what is permanent layaha. Understand now? So here, temporary layaha means by focusing the attention of the mind on one thing, thereby preventing the mind being distracted to many objects, thereby preventing the very rising of the thoughts for a length of time, thereby having the thoughts resolved for a while, is called what? Temporary layaha. But without really preventing the thoughts from rising, but knowing the very truth of the thoughts, thereby saying all the thoughts are the truth, is what? Resolving the thoughts in their reality is permanent layaha. Is it clear now? So any experience is what? Temporary layaha. But in jnanam there is permanent layaha. You don't undo anything. I think I made it very clear. So he says, like that, either in Nirvikalpa Samadhi or Savikalpa Samadhi, or what happens even in through Pranayama, you can have your mind resolved. You can have your thoughts resolved for a length of time. That is a what an experience. Either dual experience or non-dual experience, or even through Pranayama, you can have your thoughts resolved for some time. The mind can become calm and quiet. But then what happens? He says, Laya Vinashane. So, Laya Vinashane. When the Laya, the experience goes, the experience comes to an end, then what happens? The resolved thoughts, Laya, it is disturbed. The resolved state of mind is disturbed. When it is disturbed, okay, that's called Laya Vinasha. When the Laya goes, Laya Vinasha means what? When the Laya goes. When the Laya goes means what? When the resolved state of mind is disturbed. Here Laya Vinashaha means the resolved state of mind, the resolved thoughts being disturbed is said to be Laya Vinasha. Is it clear now? The resolved state of mind being disturbed is what? Laya Vinasha. And the Layam mudiyum boludu. Layam ayyum boludu. Laithirukka nilai ayyum boludu. What happens when the resolved state of mind is disturbed? What happens? Ubhaya Rodhane. He says, any form of, no, any form of this, all this, the thoughts being resolved, any form of obstruction, what happens? Layagatam punaha bhavati. The resolved mind comes up again. All the resolved thoughts again come back. What all thoughts come back? Now you can tell, resolved mind again punaha bhavati. Again it crops up. Again it crops up. After the experience is over. Like what? Like in deep sleep state, you fall asleep, all the thoughts are resolved. Okay, the thoughts are resolved. What happened? No thought rises in deep sleep state. Why? There's a state of mind. All thoughts are resolved. It is temporary layaha. So samadhi also temporary layaha. In through pranayama also you have temporary layaha. Thoughts are resolved. But what? This is an experience. So layagatam manaha. Okay. The mind which is temporarily resolved. What happens? Punaha bhavati. Again it comes back. It wakes up. When wakes up means what? Again agyanam comes back. Again, adhyasa comes back. all the notions again. Again adhyaropa comes back. Again ahankara comes back. Again the problem of smallness being handled on I comes back. All the notions about the self comes back. Again there will be needs will be there. Again there will be desires. Again too many desires. Again you will be impelled to do actions. Again you are same old person. But the more you practice meditation, the more you are little evolved person. You are not too brutal. You are a little cultured, civilized ajnani. A civilized ajnani. Understand now? Very decent and then, not a brute. So, cultured ajnani. That means what? Because of practice, now you have certain mastery, you are very calm and quiet, how you talk. The people who give practice, that's why they keep their eyes also like this. I try to do like this. And some people tell me also, come and tell me. You know, Swamini, you know that person's face itself shows. What do you see? Face. We come and tell, no? See, look at the face, how calm he is. How quiet he is. So what? What do you get? That person is calm and quiet. What do you get? Are you quiet? No, see, other people, I also become very quiet. How long you could be sitting in front of the person all the time? Don't get up and go away anywhere. Keep on seeing other person's face. So you'll be calm for some time. Okay? That is why we have to think a lot, think so much. My God. The whole Jagat. Swamiji used to tell me many years ago, I don't know how to teach these people. There's so much given to this wrong understanding and ideas. And now I feel the same. Because I think it's something, people are given to all these external things and things, how people appear and look. And also some aura we have, colors. Some aura, no? And so always look at this. We jump everywhere, going and sleeping and laughing and laughing, eating and talking. No, we were very close to people. People think, you're not very great. Ordinary Swamini, ordinary person. You touch others, you sit next to others, you eat with others, you talk to others, you joke with others. Means you're, people don't keep distance. Yes. Not talk much. Have your eyes like this, always I'm half asleep. Because meditation, not so meditation, look at this face. People tear all these things. So all our own projections. Again, new projection. So here, he says, laya vinashane layagatam manaha punaha bhavati. Again it comes back. Like what? Like when in sleep, layagatam manaha. When you wake up, punaha bhavati. All the problems come. As long as you are asleep, You didn't think of Swamiji says, you don't think of your mother-in-law, you don't think of your father-in-law, don't think of your son-in-law, don't think of your daughter, don't think of anything else, don't think of any problem around mosquitoes. When you wake up, all the problems come back. Like that, everything comes back. Layagatta manaha punaha bhavati, because again thoughts have come into being. Again mind has come into being. Oh, kill the mind. That is not possible. In fact, to kill the mind, that's why, what is that? This temporarily killing the mind? If you put the I thought, you forget yourself. I tell you, anything which makes you forget yourself, if you're given to that, if you can forget yourself, then all of the thoughts will be as good as non-existent. Then again, there's no pain. There's no ahankara. Ahankara is forgotten. Everything is forgotten. The ahamatal is forgotten. How can there be ahankara? The I sense is forgotten. Then the smallness, the problem of smallness being held on I also will be forgotten. Then there's no pain. That is why, how people forget themselves? Take some booze, over booze, or take too much of alcohol, and that you have some drugs. You forget yourself. That is why people like that. I'll kick things why people like. It helps them to forget themselves. It's a temporary pleasure. Anyway, so lying. There again, there's no laya. If the kick goes again, punaha bhavati. Understand? There's no resolution actually. So it's just forgetfulness. You put some thoughts to sleep. You just forget you are. When you take too much of alcohol, you forget you are. You don't even know you are like in deep sleep state. You know that? There's no eye sense. Then there's no shame. You don't know what you're talking, what you do. No shame, nothing. There's no identity. There, again the kick, that thing goes, again you wake up, isn't it? So, layagatam manaha punaha bhavati. Is it clear now? Puna again comes back. That is why you have to surrender. Understand now? If we can put our mind to sleep for good, if we can undo our mind, that is why people who do not know, they can never undo the mind. That is why even the commit suicide or homicide, who kills only the body, not the mind. That is why the mind will come back. That is why we have to surrender to Bhagavan. We are helpless. So, layagatam manaha punaha bhavati. Whereas he says, na mrutam. No mrutam means what? Mrutam manaha punaha na bhavati. So, mrutam literally means dead. But I don't want to use the word dead here. Please understand, the permanently resolved mind does not come back. Mrutam manaha, mrutam means here what? Mrutam means dead. Dead means what? Permanently resolved mind does not come back. Permanently resolved thoughts do not rise again. Whereas impermanently, temporarily resolved mind comes back. Now you should know what is temporary resolution, what is permanent resolution. Is it clear now? Permanent resolution, you just naturally understand the truth of the mind. Look at this, understand the truth of the mind. How? By understanding the truth of the I thought, then contemplate upon the truth of the I thought, continuously focus attention on that, then ascertain that. When you ascertain that truth of the I thought being awareness, then contemplation helps you what? For the mind to abide in that Vishnu, that non-duality of the reality, then if the thoughts are there, thoughts will be understanding. All the minds are nothing but awareness. All the thoughts are nothing but awareness. You know that? The whole jagat is nothing but awareness. This understanding is what? Having the thoughts resolved for good. Understand now? So, mrutam manaha, permanently resolved mind, na bhavati. Whereas, layagatam manaha, temporarily resolved mind, punaha bhavati. And here one thing you have to understand, listen to me carefully. Why the mind comes back? Layagatam manaha, why it comes back? Because in the permanently resolved mind does not come back. Why? Does not come back means what? See here, in life, in permanently resolved mind, the truth has been recognized. Thereby, the truth has been contemplated upon. Then the truth has been assimilated and ascertained. Thereby, all the thoughts being mithya, everything being that awareness also is very, everything is resolved in that awareness. Therefore, what happens naturally, one recognizes fullness. In jnanam, in permanent resolution, is resolution of the thoughts is possible only in jnanam. In samadhi, in all other things, where resolve the thoughts, through focusing attention on something, there the ajnanam is still there. In jnanam, where there is knowledge, please listen to me carefully. I want all of you to listen to me now. In jnanam, where you recognize fullness, you revel in fullness. Because you're reveling in fullness, listen to me, because you naturally revel in fullness. Ninga nirevil telaital. No? In recognizing the self being awareness, in recognizing the self being the self of all the beings, the contemplation helps you to ascertain this fact. You're simply knowing it, ascertaining, assimilating this this thing, fact, that everything is awareness, naturally then your ahankara will be resolved. Naturally your ahankara, adhyasa, adhyaropa, simultaneously they will all be resolved, not one after the other. Simultaneously be resolved, then the smallness is resolved. The problem of smallness being central, I is resolved, the inadequacy is resolved, the needs are resolved, therefore the desires do not arise with naturally. Asai thanagave eladu. The desires cannot rise. Why the desires do not rise? See, why the desires do not rise, cannot rise? Because the root, the seed of the desire has been eliminated. What is seed of it? In jnanam, please understand, in jnanam, the seed of the desire has been eliminated. What is the seed of the desire? Ignorance. Isn't it? Ignorance has been uprooted. Ignorance seed is not there. Therefore what? The sprouting is not possible. Whereas in temporary laya, see, ignorance is continues to be there. Temporarily, the thoughts are like symptoms of the disease. Look at this. Having the disease, symptom, you take medicine for symptoms of the disease. Symptoms of the disease goes for temporarily, goes. Again, because the disease is there, again symptoms will show up. Whereas in jnanam, symptoms, very root cause of the disease is removed. Therefore, symptoms cannot show again. Is it clear? That is the difference. In permanent resolution, symptoms cannot come back again. Why? Because the very root cause of the disease is removed. The seed of ignorance is removed. Is it clear now? Therefore, the diseases do not just rise at all. Why? There are no needs. Why there are no needs? Because needs also have been completely removed, uprooted. Why? Because the sense of inadequacy is not there. This problem of smallness being held on I is not there. Because the ahankara has been resolved. The erroneous self-perception has been corrected. Because the no more non-self is mistaken for the self. Why? Because self is known now. Self has been recognized. And not a self is recognized. There is only reveling of fullness. The jnani revels in fullness. Jnanathil tilaithale niraivil tilaithal na. Understand? So knowing what fullness is, reveling in fullness. That is luxury. There is no greater luxury than reveling in fullness. Isn't it? There is no greater luxury than reveling in knowledge of fullness. Reality. Therefore, it is permanent. Is it clear now why it is permanent? Why the desires do not arise naturally? There are some desires, some thoughts. But there is no, naturally the desires do not arise. And what happens, such a jnani, the jnani, one has got his thoughts resolved through knowledge. Understand now? By knowing what the reality is, for such a jnani, agami is not there. Sanchita karma is not there because jnani is free from doership and enjoyership because there is no more I sense in the body mind is complex for a jnani. Therefore, there is no doership, there is no enjoyership. There is no knowledge, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. So what happens? The jnani leaves the parabdha. When the jnani parabdha gets over, the sukshma leaves the physical body, sanchitam has been resolved. Already, you know, free from sanchitam and agami, parabdha is also finished, has been exhausted. So no karma anymore. So what? There's no desire. Natural desire is not there. Therefore what? So if the mind is, the desires do not rise naturally because of the needs, lack of needs, absence, okay, the needs being not there, desires being not there, sense of inadequacy being not there, this problem of smallness being centered on I being not there, no, the knowledge being there, reveling in fullness being there, the mind resolves for good. That's why Videha Mukti, okay? The Jivan Muktaha alone can become a Videha Muktaha. He becomes free. When the mind is resolved, the entire sukshma, all other subtle aspects also will resolve. Then sukshma itself will be resolved for good. Therefore, sukshma is not there to assume in a new body and to be born again. Therefore, it is resolved for good. This is called mritam manaha. Understand now? The Ramana Maharshi says, this is what is the real death, final death. Now, what is the final death? Mind being resolved for good is what? Final death. Why? Once you, this, the jnani, when the jnani's sukshma leaves the physical body, okay, that's all. Again, he is not born again to die again. One has to be born again to die again. So, the jnani won't even be born again. Why? The physical body will get disintegrated and goes away. And sukshma will be resolved for good. Sukshma shariram cannot be destroyed, can only be resolved. How does it get resolved? The all physiological functions, the powers of organs of actions, the subtle powers of knowledge, all of them, 15 of them will resolve along with the mind. If the mind is resolved, 15 will be resolved together. How can it resolve the mind? The thoughts, all thoughts will be resolved. What do you mean by that? The disease will be resolved. What do you mean by that? Disease do not rise at all. Why the disease do not rise at all? There are no needs. Why there are no needs? Because there is no sense of inadequacy. Why there is no sense of inadequacy? There is no smallness. Why? Because ahankara, the wrong notion of self, have been resolved. There is no more superimposition of limitations upon this self. Because there is no more wrong erroneous perception of the self. Because there is a right perception of the self. There is right recognition, cognition, knowledge of the self. There is not a simple recognition. There is an ascertained, doubt-free understanding of the self being the only non-dual reality. Therefore, there is fullness. Yesterday I told you, shortness and long and the tallness cannot coexist. Similarly, fullness and desire cannot coexist. Understand now? No, he is the man of fullness, but still he has some disease, you know that. That's not possible. If the jnani has disease, you can't say jnani has disease. Diseases are there, jnani is. Okay? And the Bhagavan's vibhuti, that's order. That's for the loka sangraham. That's for the well-being of the world. Something happens. That's all. Therefore, that mind is what? Jnani. While living, he is a Jivan Muktaha. And for a Jivan Mukta, after the death of the leaving the physical body, the subtle body will resolve for good. Why? Because the mind will be resolved for good. Why? Because the thoughts do not rise at all. Why? Because diseases do not rise. Asiye Yadada. And Nerevil Epri Asavarum. நிறைவிருக்கிறப்ப ஆசை எழாது இல்லையா? நிறைவில் திளைக்கின்ற ஞானிக்கு ஆசை எப்படி எழ முடியும்னா குறையிருந்ததான் ஆசை வரும். Therefore, that is why that is called permanent death, final death. Understand now, what is final death? This ஞானி சூக்ஷ்ம, after exhausting the பாரப்தா, the ஜீவன் முக்தாஸ் subtle body resolves for good. Why? Because his mind will be resolved for good. Why? Thoughts do not rise at all. Diseases do not rise at all. Mind is resolved for good. Why? Because there is revel, fullness. So what happens? That resolution is said to be what? Mritam manaha. Dead mind. Dead mind means what? The mind being permanently resolved for good. The mind which is not there anymore to assume another body and to be born again. Therefore what? Therefore no more death is possible. Unless you are born, how can there be death? That is the final death. Is it clear now? So Ramana Maharshi always used his own language, you know that very ni sethupo. He just simply say in Tamil. I don't know, because my eldest used to tell, I never saw him, But my grandfather used to tell me, we would go and wait, and then they used to see. Now he'd be sitting like this, and he said, "Poh, go and die." He'll say like this, it seems. Very, very profound thing, no? Just go and die. That means what? Go and die means not go and commit suicide. No. Ni Setupo means what? May you resolve your ahankara. Ahankara be resolved is said to be that. That means that is only way. And that is why they'll say, now I tell you, when for the person who revels in fullness, no, there's no need. Need is not there. Sense of inadequacy is, I tell you, the sense of inadequacy is sent down I, the problem of smallness being sent down I is not there. Then there's no pressure at all. That is the time you're free from, completely free from inner pressure. Then there's no need means, that is when there is real silence. You don't become silent. In jnanam, you do not become silent. You are the very silence. When there is silence means what? Niraivil thalaithale silence. Understand now, reveling in fullness is reveling in silence. That is when there is no need for any activity. But still that's a different thing. Then they can't talk much. Talk much means what? They may talk something. I don't say they didn't mean maunis or anything. But then everything is only about Bhagavan. Isn't it? What is there? That silence, that is what? Recognize the silence. Be silent. Understand now? You will be silent. Mind will be silent when it recognizes silence. Isur nature. One great saint used to say in Tamil, Summa iru sollara. Understand? So be, you know, just be silence. Then be silent. Be silent means such a big problem it is. Be silence. Be yourself. We have many great saints in Tamil. Okay, you know what I'm saying? So, that is what I had to tell you, this one verse. So, layagatam, now remember this. Layagatam manaha, say no?
Layagatam manaha.
Punaha bhavati.
Mritam manaha.
Punaha na bhavati. Temporarily resolved mind comes back, surfaces again. Permanently resolved mind does not come back. Okay? While living, also it is resolved through knowledge. And after death also what? Resolved for good. Have you got it now? Not it? Ubhaya Rodhana means this... When you practice pranayama, there's rodhana means this one controls the other. No? The mind, ubhaya means both. See, mind regulates the prana. Prana regulates the mind. So in both regulating each other, the mind will be resolved. Mind will be resolved completely. In both regulating each other, mind will be resolved for good. And so here we can say, I have to add the previous verse also because we're talking about meditation. Haven't we? So that's why in any way of resolving the, through whichever way you resolve the mind, either through practice of pranayama, either through practice of meditation, understand? So even through having gained this experience of non-dual experience through nirvikalpa samadhi or savikalpa samadhi, dual experience, everywhere you resolve the mind, thoughts, resolve the mind, but such a mind will come back because ajnanam continues to be there. Whereas in jnanam, through which you gain, through contemplation, that mind does not come back. That ubhaya rodhana means in resolving the mind by regulating both, by mutual regulation of mind and pranas. There again, I tell you one thing. I said, no, this rodhana means actually obstructing, isn't it? Rodhana means obstructing. So what happens? Obstruction, thoughts are obstructed. The thoughts are obstructed means what? Thoughts being prevented from rising. Thoughts being prevented from rising is said to be what? Thoughts being obstructed from rising. Thoughts being blocked from rising. Isn't it? So thoughts being blocked from rising is what? Rodhanam. Is it clear now? Then there are two ways of obstructing the thoughts from rising. The two ways of obstructing or blocking or preventing thoughts from rising. One is what? Temporary layaha, temporary resolution. One is permanent resolution. This is ubhaya rodhanam. Okay? The one is said to be what? The temporary resolution is said to be layaha. And the permanent resolution is said to be mritam. But I didn't want to use it. I just used temporary layaha, permanent layaha. Because why I said that? Because I used the word layaha for always for. Mritam means dead. That is why I want to use that only. I use only the word layaha for both. Temporary layaha and permanent layaha.
So vinashana is the second one, no?
No. I tell you okay, what it is. See, the temporary layaha is said to be what? Layaha. And the permanent layaha resolution is said to be what? Mritam. Okay. So what he says, laya vinashaha means what? When the layam comes to an end. The resolution comes, when the resolved thought, the resolution comes to an end, what happens? Again thoughts rise. The thoughts remain resolved for length of time, that the resolved state of mind, the resolved state, you know, gets disturbed, then again thoughts come up. That's called laya vinasha means what? The state of the resolved state being disturbed is called vinasha. Not destruction. I don't want to use the word destruction. Swamiji said he has to, he himself want to re-edit the thing. Because some people have used the word emancipation all that. Some doesn't like all those things. There's not vinasha. See, laya vinasha means what? The layaha means resolved state of mind. Thoughts being resolved. Okay? And that is disturbed. Again, the thoughts come up. The thought, the resolved state of mind being disturbed is said to be what? Laya vinasha. Laya vinashane. When the resolved state of mind is disturbed, that is destroyed. Resolved state is destroyed. That means what? That is disturbed. I mean the thoughts have come back again. It's no more resolved. Thoughts are no more resolved. They come back means what? The resolved state is destroyed, isn't it? Resolved state being destroyed. Then what happens? Ubhaya rodhane. Ubhaya rodhane means what? Both the temporary resolution. See, through what he says here is, through contemplation, please listen to me carefully. Through contemplation, no, constantly focused attention of the mind on the nature of reality, which you recognized as the truth of the I. Through contemplation, also what happens? You resolve your mind. How to resolve? I told you, by understanding the truth of something is resolving something in the truth. It is all. Now I say, the self is wood means, when I say self is wood, in this equation, I resolve the self, the name, self, the name and form in its reality, the wood. When I say chain is gold, when I say, I resolve the name and form chain in its reality, gold. When I say ocean is H2O, I resolve the name and form ocean in its reality, H2O. Before I thought water H2, I did not even know what H2O is. I mistake the ocean for the reality. I only say ocean alone is there. There are so many waves. I count also. For me, plurality of waves waves is real, and the ocean being big is real. Okay, I have for me real. I mistake the empirical reality for absolute reality. Look at this. What is empirically real is mistaken for the absolute reality. And then what happens? But now, when I understand, oh, there is something called H2O, without which this ocean has no meaning. When I recognize the reality of the ocean being H2O, then I say, there is no such thing called ocean. What is empirically real is not absolutely real. Okay, what is absolutely real is only H2O. Therefore, the ocean is H2O when I say, I resolved H2O in, sorry, ocean in its reality. Similarly, here also, when I do not know what the reality is, what the self is, I mistake the non-self, the anatma, the what is empirically real for the reality. What is it is empirically, temporally, relatively real. This body, mind is complex, the whole jagat, this plurality, the multiplicity, the diversity, all these things that are happening, they're all real. We cannot say they're unreal. Either our hunger is real or thirst is real or we have to eat now, that's also real. It's all real means what? It's all empirically real, relatively real. But what is absolutely real? That without which all these transactions are not possible is absolutely real. Then how do you understand that absolute reality? As the truth of the mind, as the truth of the very content of I thought, I recognize it with the help of the Shastra methodology, then I recognize, then I focus attention on that reality, then contemplate upon it, then I ascertain the reality, nature of the reality, and then that ascertained vision of the reality, I resolve the whole jagat in that vision, that reality. That means what? The mind abides in that vision of the non-duality of reality. Then that's also what? Layaha. Isn't it? That is, so through contemplation also, I resolve the mind in its reality. And through meditation and through pranayama also resolve my thoughts. You know what is? That one layaha is said to be what? Temporary layaha. Through contemplation, the layaha happens, isn't it? That layaha is what? Permanent layaha. And in this, the layaha that happens through meditation is what? Impermanent, temporary layaha. Temporary layaha is said to be layaha. And permanent layaha is said to be mentioned by the word mritam. And here, that laya nashane, in both that is disturbance, no? What he says, in the layaha is destroyed. The dissolved set of mind is destroyed. Then what happens? Punaha bhavati. Laya na vinashane, punaha bhavati manaha. Layagatam manaha, punaha bhavati. Whereas, no, ubayarodhane, in both ways, the minds are resolved. Through contemplation also, mind is resolved. Through meditation, through pranayama also, mind is resolved. But that the resolution of the mind, resolving state of mind through meditation is disturbed. Understand, it comes back. Whereas the resolved state of mind through contemplation is not disturbed. In fact, it is permanent. Thoughts will be there, but when you are understanding, you are free. In understanding, so ubhayarodhanam. Two ways of resolving. Through contemplation also you resolve the mind. Through meditation, pranayama also you resolve the mind. Both ways of resolving the mind. But in contemplation, the very surupam is meditated upon, the surupam is ascertained. Therefore, you resolve the whole jagat, including then through resolving the mind, whole jagat also resolved in the reality. Such a mind which has the vision of the non-duality of the reality, which has resolved the whole jagat along with resolving itself, is what now? Punaha na bhavati. Then I talk about jnani also. Two ways of preventing thoughts from rising. But one is prevented for good, one is temporarily prevented. Because the seed is not, I explain to you, the seed of the thoughts is not removed in meditation, in temporary layaha. Whereas in permanent layaha, the seed of the very, you know, the thoughts is removed, ignorance. Therefore, it is permanent layaha. Again, they cannot come back. That's what ubhayarodhanam.
So, these two are adjectives for layarodhanam? So, layavinashina and ubhayarodhanam are both adjectives for layarodhanam.
No, not adjective. No, that this happens when it happens. In locative it is. Laya vinashane. No, when the layam gets, yeah, sati saptami. When the layam, the results of mind is destroyed. I don't want to use word destroyed there. Is disturbed. And through two ways of, no, preventing, through ways of prevention of thoughts, you know, through contemplation and meditation, even the, you know, there is a state of mind, there is a mind which becomes resolved. And when that resolved set of mind is disturbed, layagatam manaha punaha bhavati, but mrutam manaha na punaha na bhavati. You have to explain it a long, lot of explanation is required here. That's why I explained the whole thing first itself before going through the verse. Is it clear now? Now again, don't need to worry about it, because the following verse will make it very, very clear. You're hungry now, Madhima? Oh, quarter to two. So we'll stop it here.